Those who had been there for so long were always able to find the courage to comfort the poorest and tell them that the unfortunate time would definitely not last forever, but would come to an end. They would know it for sure. They would have been told it too. You just have to endure now, and you have to make amends here for what you committed in life. There would be no point in doubting anything. Rather, one should try to turn one's eyes upwards and ask God for forgiveness. So I was able to experience this too. Beings who were themselves in the process of purification and had to experience a painful time always brought up this energy and courage to comfort others. And it had to be the case that it was precisely by consoling others that they gave themselves the best consolation and thus found relief in their suffering and distress. When this long time was over, they came again, these mighty ones, and stood in front of you and said, "Now a period is over, you can come out of this sphere and prepare yourself for a new life on earth." I had observed that others were also being led away. But it does not happen in such a way that one simply comes to you and says, "Come," but long, long beforehand you are made aware that the period of suffering will soon be over and a new phase will then begin. Because of these words you gain confidence and courage and then pass this on to those who have recently arrived. They are told the same thing, that the time of distress is not an eternity, that, now, as in my case, I have already received the message that I will be freed, and that the same will happen to him and her. But how long the time of distress lasts varies from one person to the next. For me it took exactly one human life, for exactly as many years as I had lived, for exactly how long I was there in this sphere of need, distress and suffering. When the time came and I was freed, it was not as if a gate opened for me and I was led into a pleasant environment full of splendor and splendor. No, you hardly deserve that, and it nor is it the case that this happens so suddenly, but very slowly you experience this spiritual daylight. Maybe others will have different stories to tell, but what happens to me personally was that I was accompanied by these spiritual beings. I went on a long hike with various angelic beings. It went over hills, even over mountains. We had to move over rivers wherever we could, because a ship was available. I felt like we had gone infinitely far. But we were not silent on this hike, there was a lot to talk about. This was a so-called lesson on the way to this hike. So it slowly became clearer to me. The world from which I was able to escape was gloomy and unpleasant, and now it was slowly, slowly becoming more and more daylight. It became very pleasant. Once when we had climbed down from a mountain and reached a valley, someone said to me, "Look over on that side, there is a big house there, there you enter. Then you are put into a sleep, and in the time of this sleep the transformation takes place." Beforehand, on the way to this house, a lot was told and explained to me. It was precisely in this class that I was told that I had now paid off a large part of the debt in the spiritual realm, but that it was not enough that the last farthing had not yet been paid. This could now only be settled in a new life on earth, which would be a great test for me, because it could not happen so easily that I would now have to live in the earthly realm and everything could go as desired. So they explained it to me and then they took me into this big house. It was not just me who went in there. I thought the gates were so huge. They were infinite many who entered through this gate. I saw many halls and was led past some of them. Then they looked for a place for me, so to speak. Many angelic beings were busy there, and so I was invited to sit down and sleep. Well, I was a little scared because I was told that this sleep was a farewell. Actually just like dying for you humans. I have to try to sleep peacefully now. I resisted. I did not want to sleep, I wanted to stay. It scared me because I did not know exactly what shape I would be in or where I would be and all the circumstances. I believed it would be painful and I did not want to go back into the unknown. I tried to cling to this world as best I could. I tried to keep my eyes open. But it did not work. It passed over my face like a sweet smell and enveloped me in sleep. So I fell asleep. During the time of sleep, the spiritual body was transformed into the size it has as a newborn human being. It also took some time until all the preparations were made precisely and until these angelic beings guided everything into the right paths and lines, so that you are, so to speak, born under the star that marks you throughout your entire human life. That's how it happened, and now I can tell you about that life. Here again I had something to do. It had been told to me in the afterlife, but as a human being I could not have become aware of it. I was never taught about it. I was born physically disabled and lost my parents early. I was born in poverty and then, as you say, I was sent to an asylum or an orphanage and was educated there. Life was not pleasant because I was marked by my physical weakness. I was laughed at and it caused me pain. Nobody knew anything about love, from either side. And yet I grew up and was able to attend schools. I was always diligent at school because no one wanted to have any closer contact with me, so at least I devoted myself to my tasks and studied diligently. When the time had advanced so far that I could be released from this orphanage, that was what was supposed to happen. But where should I go? I could not do any hard work because I was physically weak. But I had shown my zeal in arithmetic, reading, writing, so I was quite adept at these things. There was a person who took some care of me and again referred me to an institution, however, I was not supposed to do any physical work or manual work there, but rather I was hired as an assistant in the estate administration. There I had a lot to calculate, write down, calculate and so on. I could do that well, and I was happy that I had at least some intelligence. Despite my physical suffering and my deformity, at least I could do something in this relationship. I always carried out my duties conscientiously. This also gave me a certain amount of respect, because many others who could speak well could not do what I did. So I stayed in this institution all my life. It was a monotonous life. I had always dreamed of having a family of my own, of having children, and that could never be an option for me. So I was always tied to this house. Here I saw many things that tormented me, for it reminded me of my boyhood and I knew how painful it was. There were also many older people in this house who also had disabilities and were unable to work, and I saw how they were treated. Whenever I met them somewhere, I always tried to give them a good word. On Sunday, some people tried to get close to me and get some consolation from me, because they knew or saw me in my form. But they still had respect for me because I had a very special job to do, a prestigious task. It gave me a lot of joy and satisfaction when I was able to give these poor people a word of comfort. And I even managed to make Sumion's fate a little easier here and there by speaking up and trying to put in a good word here and there. My words were always obeyed, because I had really fought for this position, but only through my hard work, through my clean work and through my precision in all things. So I had to die in this house too. When I became ill there, I had a certain longing to go over there. I also have to mention that I was very religious throughout my entire life. I was very pious and prayed a lot. I was brought up in a similar environment and was introduced to it later. But I just had a certain longing to pray. I also had the feeling that after human life things had to be different. It was not entirely clear to me how one continues to live despite praying to God, to all the saints, to the deceased and so on. No one had any idea of an afterlife. And yet I had a certain longing within me, and so I was glad to realize that my time to die was near, because I had nothing to lose. So I left this world happily and then opened my eyes in the afterlife. There they stood before me. They were again the same figures who had accused me after my previous life. Now they said, "You have atoned, and now you will do another task here. In your last human life you atoned for the rest of what you had previously committed and what was still weighing on you. Now you have to do a job in the spiritual world for a certain amount of time, and when you have proven yourself in this job and have fulfilled it to the best of your ability, then heaven will open to you and you will be given freedom, which will also be given to you heard. Now let me being tested. I did not know what they had in store for me. They said that I had atoned, but they explained to me that I was assigned to a job, and this work as a spirit I had to do in the earthly realm among people, with people. In my human life I had not had to do any physical, heavy work, nor would I have been able to do it. Now I was called to go to those people who do the hardest work on earth. I had to support these people with the spiritual strength I had at my disposal. I had to try, so to speak, to relieve them of their tiredness. I had to give them strength. And it was a struggle for me too. These angelic beings had come with me, they had demonstrated it to me, they showed it to me. I asked why this was necessary at all and was told, everywhere there are people, there are spirits, and nowhere are people able to do their work without the help of the spirits. So you have to do your own thing. They wanted to test me in obedience and endurance, because I thought I could do something other than make my strength available to others. I would much rather have anything calculate something or something. No, I should not do that. I should try to transfer my spiritual powers to the human body and lighten its burden. That is just what I did. I saw that it was a necessity, because the angels had commanded it, and these beings, who rise from the most beautiful heavens, are still fulfilling God's mission. So, I thought, I just have to do my own thing. It was not like I was always with the same person. Once I was called to this one, once to another. Once a person repelled me because of his personality, I did not like him, another time I really liked it with a person. When I expressed such dislike, I was reprimanded, and it was only later that I realized why I had to do that. So I should do the work that was assigned to me with benevolence and love. So I was sent here and there to do a variety of jobs, and this consisted precisely in this transfer of forces. I had to do this for a long time. Then I had overcome my dislike for certain people and I did my work because it was my duty and because I saw it as a higher task. Then I was also led to the sick, to those seriously suffering people. Here, too, I was told how I should approach them, that I should try to strengthen their faith in God, and that I should give them comfort and give them courage to live. This happened again through very special influences. I had to try to grasp a part of human thinking and then switch my powers or my thinking there. But as a spirit you cannot simply switch off people's thinking everywhere and easily, because they have their own consciousness, their strong will, and their will can then suppress the spiritual influence. So I never did it alone, I always had my spiritual teachers around me and they explained to me, you see, what we're up against such a strong, willed person above. There is no point here, if you want to gain entry to him, because he is such an independent person and has such a strong will of his own, you have to refrain from doing so. But you have to try to influence him in a different way, you have to approach and influence those around you who are dealing with him so that they can have an influence on him by coming up with the same explanations over and over again. So I had to do my work here in a wide variety of areas. I did it because I realized it was a necessity for my development and advancement. Of course I would have much preferred to see myself in the most beautiful sky, but I did not deserve this beautiful sky so quickly. So I was led step by step from one job to the other, and I had to stay with each job until I really carried it out with love and even with a certain desire. I was left with this task until I found it became a need and I enjoyed what I was doing. That I chose the people and was happy that it came to fruition. Then they were happy with me because I was convinced of it and because it had sunk into me. This has happened in a variety of areas. Then I was brought back into the spiritual realm, that means that I had already been able to come here again before. I lived with others and our surroundings were very beautiful, but all who were with me were diligent in their work, just as I was. You only talked about your tasks. You were only together for a short time, and you knew what it was all about. You had to work hard and rigorously in order to then enter this free, beautiful sky. So we knew, you have to earn this heaven with your work. When the time came, a large gate was opened for me and magnificent gardens stood before me. Then we started hiking again. On these hikes we met many, many siblings. They all seemed happy and liberated. They felt the same way as I did. I was happy to have overcome it, to have survived it. I felt like I had recovered from a serious illness and was so happy that everything was over, so well. So people met and cheered for each other. You went to the other person, hugged him, were happy, and you went on again until you reached this house, where they said, "This is now your new home, this is where you should live." Then you are introduced to these higher beings, this is your teacher, this is your advisor. So I moved into this house and stay there and am so happy. I came from this house and we have decorated this beautiful house for the great festival that we also celebrate in memory of the Savior. We have also decorated the gardens as best we can, our paths and everything shines. We are full of joy and waiting for the big visit. This is how I told you about my life. My name is Stefan. Now I would like to withdraw again and carry the little lights to those souls who are suffering. I would also like to bring a little light into the house of everyone who is here. I want to try and see if I can find my way to everyone. I would be happy. So I say to you all, God protect you, and may God's blessing remain with you. God bless you. Joseph, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, I am ready to answer your questions, which may have arisen from what has been presented, as best I can. Dear friend, Stefan said that in that life in which he had burdened himself so much, he had never thought about the fact that he was doing so much wrong. But the spiritual world can have an influence on a person through his conscience, it wants to guide him through his feelings. Joseph, yes, but people can suppress their conscience. Just as feelings can be refined, they can also be transformed into the opposite, they can be brutalized. Thanks, dear friend. Then Stefan told me how he had to fall asleep and how he noticed a sweet smell. Was this some kind of mental anesthesia? Joseph, yes, of course. This is applied to those entities that simply refuse. If a mind guided to these preparations is devoted, it can close its eyes and thus fall asleep. But you can imagine that there are entities that very much refuse. There are also spirits of unhappiness who are not ready to enter a new life on earth and for whom there is absolutely no reason that one would treat them with particular love and invite them to sit down or lie here and there to close your eyes. You can do something like that. You cannot do anything with these wretched people because they are often violent. In such cases, the spiritual world must also use other means. Here she has her means with which she can bring these violent people to rest. All it takes is a wave of one hand from such a sublime being and the person concerned falls asleep, so resistance is of no use to him, but he can defend himself at first. Dear friend Joseph, is it possible that certain spiritual beings, at a certain level, can in some way oversee or foresee the life they are about to enter that will be shown to them? Joseph, yes, there are exceptions. Dear friend Joseph, we saw in this report that this soul was actually reincarnated very soon. Joseph, yes. It is very often the case, not always, but very often, that those who have put a lot of strain on themselves are quickly given the opportunity to move up, because in the spiritual realm one wants so little time. When I speak of time, lose as much as possible. You want to give everyone the opportunity to move forward quickly. This is how it happens that the spiritual world can shorten a person's life because it recognizes that the whole life is meaningless and does not bring any spiritual achievements and that it is better for the person concerned if he is called away earlier, but it can also be the case that you extend a person's life. Dear spirit friend Joseph, what about free will in the spiritual world? Many are reincarnated against their will. So we see that free will is relative. Joseph, I would like to explain it with an example from your world. Someone has a serious illness and the doctor tells him, the only way your life will be saved is through an operation. If the patient replies, I won't have the operation, I do not want to, that is his free will, he says, I don't want to. When it finally gets to the point where he is writhing in pain and no longer knows what to do with it and then lets everything happen to him, he is simply taken to the hospital and he is operated on. So the others had done what they thought was right for him, for his salvation. It is the same in the spiritual realm. One will not restrict one's will if it is for his good, but one will influence him to do what is necessary and good for him, because the spiritual world has no interest in looking at things for a long time that are meaningless. Then it is just like this example, such an intervention is attempted to cure it. Dear Joseph Stefan said that he supported the people who had to work so hard. He himself had not had to do any physical work in his life when he was disabled. Does his job have anything to do with it? Joseph, yes, this should be an addition. Thank you, dear friend Joseph. Stefan very graciously agreed to bring a candle, a little light, to our home. Of course we were all happy about it. Maybe he'll still listen and hear that we still want to thank him. Joseph, yes. But he won't find the way to you alone. He has already asked many of us to accompany him to you. For you should never think that when I come here I am alone. There are always a few hundred with me. Several hundred? Joseph, a few hundred. In our opinion, there would be no place for all of them here. But you already explained to us that the walls do not exist for them. Joseph, number. Dear Joseph, is there no danger that lower spiritual beings will sneak in? Joseph, we have control for that. I would like to take this opportunity to tell you something. The name of the controlling spirit has not been mentioned for some time, but that does not mean that I would be unfaithful to you. But as a controlling spirit, we take one of these hundreds in turns. You have to listen to it very carefully, even on Saturdays. In the past, the controlling spirit Felix always spoke a short introduction. This hasn't happened for a long time. Joseph, we have been using these spirits to greet people for about 1.5 to 2 years. You have to help and be happy to be allowed to take on this task. It is a great joy for them. But none of you have noticed this yet. Is this an honor for these friends? Joseph, yes, of course, and they do it out of great joy. I have noticed that on Saturdays the controlling spirit usually speaks much more quietly than you do when you speak later. Why is this? Has the state of trance not yet been properly achieved, or is there no exercise or force field? Joseph, it is just that a spirit that speaks for the first time always has some difficulty. But is our brother Felix still there? Joseph, he is still there. What order do these spiritual beings fall under, and do they also have powers to transfer to us? Joseph, you know that Linus is the leading spirit of this community and I have to obey him and that he has so many students and guests. When we are in the spirit realm and talk to each other, then primarily our tasks to you are discussed, and everyone in particular wants to do something, and if they are only allowed to make this greeting, that is a great joy for a spirit. Because it does not just stop there. All of these that I speak of also have their work to do for you. They come home with you. They also have to advise you. In the evening they pray with you, so you do not forget. They accompany you on your way to the shop and wherever you are, and they always try to protect you and point out dangers. Then it is the case that they do too have a lot of newcomers with them who, as Stefan told us this hour, have to give of their strength. Have you not already felt that you have received strength, or have you not been amazed that you have accomplished a work that you did not know how you did? It is not possible for man alone, it is always connected with spiritual guidance, with spiritual strength. The spirits also have to learn to give up their spiritual powers and give them to people. In addition to the cases where it is about giving a person relief, there are also other important matters where a person needs strength, and here spirits are called in who have experience in power transmission. There are very important moments in a person's life where you have to support them. And then it is always good when a spirit who knows what he is doing can do it. Dear spirit friend, Joseph, what is the cooperation like between the guiding spirits of our community and our personal protective spirit and these other spirits that accompany us? Joseph, yes, they bring the news to us from you. And people consult just like you. If you come together with other people or have to carry out work with another person, then you also have to talk to each other. That is how it happens with us, we talk to each other. Then it is often the case that one leaves his task to the other person, and so he can, in a certain sense, decide and act freely, and when it becomes necessary, we step in again and give him the necessary instructions again or say what he is doing wrong has made. Almost end. Those were experience reports of ascending spirits beings, and answering questions from spirit teacher Joseph by or via spiritual medium Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Court in Caldenstress, Zurich. Template, tape recordings. Ending notice, Beatrice Brunner, 1910-1983. Gave over 2,000 teaching lectures in deep trance during her 35 years of work. The lectures, which have been available on tape since 1957 and also on videotape from 1977, each lasting around an hour, are now reproduced by Pro Beatrice in a teaching facility specially created for this purpose, a hall with 500 seats, in Zurich. If you, dear reader, are interested in attending such an event, we kindly invite you to contact our secretariat. Further information and books about the media announcements of the medium Beatrice Brunner can be found on the following website, https://www.glz.org/. The end.